Welcome back to Real Phonies, where we take a love for movies and television and we combine it with very little knowledge about movies and television. I'm your host, Christian. Joined with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Joseph.
Yellow.
And Jehu. Quiet, there's a baby sleeping.
That was my special, the Joseph's son is asleep, cacao.
Yeah. I don't know if we've said that, but that's why we took a break. Yeah, you had a baby. We're talking about Alien Romulus, which is a movie that came out, I think, late summer last year. Nobody really watched it. It's on Hulu now.
Yes.
I don't think anyone still has really watched it.
I think that's accurate.
But we have all watched it.
That's true.
And we're going to talk about it.
You've only said true things so far.
Let's change that. Okay. No, directed by Fede. I don't know how to say
Fede. 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 Yeah. It's probably not Fede.
Yeah. Fede Wap. Alvarez, who made a... Evil Dead movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty scary.
Yes.
Starring a bunch of people I don't know, and then one person who I do know, who we can talk about, should they be in the movie, is a question. But yeah, it's an alien movie. This brother, sister, he's a robot, she's not. They're trying to get off their slave planet, maybe, thing, colony. And the way they're going to do that is by stealing some cryo chambers off a derelict space station. That's pretty good for having not watched this movie in a while.
I think that's pretty great.
What do we think of this? Oh, an alien xenomorph show up.
Right, yeah. And what they don't know is this alien space station has touched another one.
Yeah.
And then shit goes down.
STDs.
Right.
What do we think of this movie, guys?
I'll go first. So, I was primed to like this movie.
You do all the Alien movies like somewhat semi recently? Am I misremembering that?
Well, not like really recently, but all later in life. I consumed them all in my late 20s.
After this podcast started.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And so like I still absolutely think like original Alien holds up, but like I like the idea of like just a modern refresh, you know, put a new skin on it, modern special effects, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That sounded fun. The trailer looked good. The initial reactions looked good. I was like really primed to like this. And so I was super surprised when I actually did.
God, I was about to say, that sounds like, oh, this is
going to turn out.
That's
the best carpet pull we've ever had. Because everyone anticipated you to be like, and I fucking hate it.
I feel like me and most people, you know, like your expectations are out to get you. So like having built up this movie before I saw it, like if I didn't know anything about it, I expected that like, oh, it would have been a surprise. It was like a fun refresh kind of thing. But going into it, like expecting it to be a good version of that, I was also kind of like, I'm going to disappoint myself. But I was surprised that I wasn't. It was really fun. And I'll tell you another reason I know this movie was good before we even get into anything else is...
How long was it?
It was 2 hours, like on the dot.
Right.
And the entire cast is either under 25 or can pass for under 25. And I still liked the movie.
Wow, because you hate young people.
I hate anybody younger than me in the movie.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear, I did hate them at the start. At the beginning, I was like, all right, I see what we're doing here.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be annoying. And what's really great is the movie makes them, I hate all of them, to be clear. They are like, even though they're in a terrible situation, I'm also the whole first 20 minutes like, you are some selfish son of bitches. Right. But... They do a good enough job to win me over that I am sad when they meet brutal death.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, as good as I expected, if not better, better than Transformers.
Yeah. Hurt?
Man, you know what? I thought this was a great Aliens movie. I thought it really had the bleakness of the original. Like, you felt that, you know, these guys were in something that was not fun to be in. And, you know, how could it get worse? Oh, you introduce a killing machine. That's how it gets worse. I think it looked great. Like you guys said, I think it was absolutely the right length. It didn't spend too much time getting to know these characters. You got like broad strokes of what they were. Now we're in it. I think that's great for this kind of movie. Some quibbles. I don't necessarily hate all younger people younger than me like Joseph does, because that'd be a whole lot of fucking people. But
just in movies.
But I
but also kind of in real life.
I do think this lacked the weathered face. Mm. There's no Harry Dean Stanton. There's Yo Yafit Koto. There's no John Hurt.
Well, again, not to tease too many things, but there should have been one craggly face right. in here, but it was unpleasantly smooth.
Mm. Right. I think that you know, they like this work benefits because in the original one, even the pretty people, you know, Sigourney and Tom mm-hmm. Skerritt are still pretty haggard looking. These guys look pretty fresh faced to be going through what they're going through.
Can I just pause you for a second?
Yeah.
I don't think we talk about how cool the cast of that first fucking movie
is. Oh, it is so fucking cool.
John Hurt, Tom Skerritt.
Yeah, yeah. Yafit Koto.
How do we not get those two in more movies together?
I don't know.
Those two guys both can rock a fucking goatee.
100%. Yeah, there's not a bad person in that cast.
No.
Nobody in it was cast on their looks. They were cast for that part, which I think is great.
Obviously, Sigourney, the big one. I think Ian Holm gets remembered a lot
yeah.
Just because of that character.
Right.
Obviously, John Hurt gets the first chest burst, or like he gets remembered a lot. I do think people forget that Tom Skerritt's the fucking captain of that shit.
I did right. forget that until yeah. you just said it. So,
and it's cool as shit.
It is great.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and specifically like Yafit Koto and Harry Dean Stanton are sort of there to. Like, sort of be the working class, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. you know, basically telling you, hey, maybe capitalism's not all it catched up to be, it's cracked up to be. And this one really leaned into that.
Yeah,
this
sure.
one really wanted to. So I like that a lot about it. Another complaint I has, despite the fact that this was really, really good, I was kind of like, who gives a fuck?
Mm.
You know? And the reason I think I was who gives a fuck about this, and maybe the world was why they didn't go to see, is we as a people, we know how to handle a movie that gets it done in one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gets everything wrapped up and you're saying, man, that's a great movie and maybe someday I'd like to see more of them, but I don't need it. And we as a people know how to deal with a trilogy. You know, three movies set up like a story structure.
Yep.
And we as a people have to deal with a franchise because that's the fucking business now. But we as a people do not know how to deal with a movie that gets it done in two. We don't know what to do with that. That's why we've made fucking Terminator 3 five times.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think, you know, like, for example, I really like Prometheus. I know it's not loved by everyone, but I enjoyed my time with that movie. But I just don't think people really needed it. Mm-hmm. And particularly when at the end of it, they're like, oh, this is actually the start of a new trilogy that we're not going to finish, you know? And so I think that's why maybe people didn't turn out for this like they should have. But it's a good movie. If you've got Hulu, you should watch it. Better than Transformers.
Yeah. I requested to do this movie. And the reason I requested for us to talk about it is a scene that I'm not going to talk about right now. I'm going to talk about when we get into spoilers. I also want to preface this by saying Alien 1, top five all-time movie for me. Yeah. I've watched it at least 100 times. Mm. I think it is not only one of the best movies ever made. I think it's one of both the best horror films ever made. I think it's one of the best science fiction films ever made. Like, if there's a Venn diagram of just excellence, obviously I just, you know, jizzed all over Tom Skerritt for right. 2 minutes. Like, I just think that movie is perfection.
Yeah.
I think Aliens is a really good time. I don't prescribe to the Aliens as a better movie than Alien. It's not.
I think it's a great movie, but yeah. I don't think it's better.
It's a fun action movie. Yeah. It says, what if we take these horror creatures and we put a bunch of Marines with big guns in it and we just have a shoot 'em up for 2 hours? And it's a fucking blast. It's not as good of a movie as Alien 1. Alien Romulus is up there with Aliens for me as the second best.
No, for sure.
Second best movie of this franchise. Yeah. Depending on the day, you could probably make an argument for me. Very much to your point. It's Alien 1 with a new skin on it, and it fucking works.
And here's the thing. I feel like we're out of our initial impressions here. It is kind of a reskin of the first one, but it's definitely a movie that's built to be an homage to the whole franchise. Yes. Like, there's little elements of every single movie.
Every single one is in there.
But in a way that isn't annoying, and also it's still a good Alien movie.
It is more in line with, I think, say, Top Gun Maverick
yeah.
than maybe people originally acknowledged it with, which is to the point you just made. It is an homage to the entire franchise, even the movies people didn't like.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an Alien 3 reference in there. There's Prometheus references. There's a Prometheus. There's so much that it is unafraid of saying, whether you like it or not, this is the universe this movie lives in, and we're going to try to do our best with it. And for the most part, it fucking hits.
Absolutely.
I don't think we've mentioned yet. I guess we're in spoilers now. This is a midquel. This is sit between the first one and the second.
Yeah, we haven't said that, but it is. Yes. Let's call it spoilers because fuck, who cares?
It's better than Transformers.
It is better than Transformers.
I think also a lot of the little mentions they do of the other movies sort of like feel like it ties everything up.
Yes.
To where if you want to be like, okay, this is... Here's how Prometheus ties into this thing. Now that story's done. And if you want to, you can be done now.
Well, yeah. And I think it does... Alien Romulus achieves what, let's say, the Clone Wars TV show does for the prequel trilogy.
Right.
Which is that there are a lot of shit maybe you don't like, but if we spend a little bit, just a little bit more time in depth explaining and giving emotional moments, it makes those other things better.
Right.
So whereas these six movies prior to... especially 3, 4, Prometheus, and Covenant, kind of all feel disjointed in the timeline. This kind of takes all these little threads and ties it up in a little bow. And I'm not saying Alien 4 is a good movie. It's not. But you could at least be like, well, if I watched 1, Romulus 2, 3, and 4, and maybe I do Prometheus before, always skip Covenant because that shit sucks. But I do think that it could theoretically make the whole series better by existing.
And again, I don't want to keep harping on that, but one of the nice things about it is like it doesn't hit you over the head with it. One of the things I like about this movie, and I wouldn't because I do still think like Alien with its late 70s, early whatever it is effects still hold up.
Right.
But like I think this would be a perfectly good way to like enter the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
One. And I don't think you would be like lost. I don't think there'd be like a bunch of references. You'd be like, what is that? Like, again, the things that are in there are exactly what they're supposed to be, Easter eggs, but they're not like plots. Like, you don't need them to understand what's happening.
Right? It's not Han Solo's dice.
Yeah.
Right. and it doesn't require you to look up anything afterwards.
Yep.
It's not like, oh man, I've got to wait for the other one. Does the alien join the Avengers? What's going to happen?
That's such a funny image.
It's the circle from the first one, and then a xenomorph.
It's just Cap, Iron Man, and a xenomorph. It's Thanos.
So, I'm more prone, even though, I mean, Joseph's obviously the most cynical of all of us. I'm more prone to hate people. So I'm surprised that you guys liked all these kids. I mean, disliked these kids.
I think the cast is good.
Because I really liked the brother and the sister.
Yeah.
And I tried to like all the rest of them, but there's definitely a point when it turns, and I'm like, okay, fuck all these guys, except for Mr. Robot, who weirdly at that point had turned heel.
You go first.
I kind of like that they all suck, but in a way that feels very realistic.
Right.
You know, like most times in a horror movie, people suck in a way that makes the horror movie plot happen.
Right.
But everybody sucks in this one in that like when the chips are down, their selfish motivations come first. Whatever's important to them is the only thing that's important, and fuck everybody else.
Right.
Which is totally like realistic. That's how the rest of us would react.
There's
also
a great bit when the horror starts, and it's a killer face hugger scene in the water.
Oh, yeah, great.
But I love that. The door locks, the lights are off, there's no power. Two people are like, there's something fucking in the water. And the one guy's like, we still got to get these fucking batteries. He doesn't even phase him to stop. He's like, we got to keep doing this. Because, to the point you made earlier, this movie is like, capitalism will fuck you.
Right.
And
capitalism is worse than these deaths.
and in that scene, that's exactly what he's like. Guys. That's the best android in any of these fucking movies.
Oh, 100%. Who is that guy? I don't know that guy.
In a series that, truthfully, I don't think has a bad robot
performance. No,
really. Yeah. Right, the robot usually steals the show.
And this guy is 10 times better than all of them. including Ian Holm's corpse.
Right.
Did you guys know about it?
I did not.
I knew. So it was. Were you shocked when they did it?
I was. I was shocked because I was really liking the movie up to that point, and I was like, "Ah, oh, fucking come on!" That was literally my only note for this movie. And like again, to your point, Hurt, as I know that Fetty Wap, right. And Fetty Wap and all the people who were writing this movie were very intentional about like keeping the lore straight, like keeping right. the canon correct,
right?
Which I respect that on one front,
right?
But also like. Fucking Michael Fassbender didn't have anything better to
yeah,
do.
Yeah,
you know
should
I
have
mean?
Just done David. That would have been the better.
There's no reason he couldn't have been here.
And we've already established there are multiple Davids.
Yeah, right.
That's already in the continuity.
Right, yeah.
It should have been David. And I know you went for it because you were really trying to be like, hit him over the head
yeah.
with the, you know, oh, we want it to feel like Alien 1. But the last third of the movie is Prometheus.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like... Just fucking do date. Like you said,
I would have almost had like no notes on this movie if Ian Holm's fucking CGI corpse wasn't in this
movie. And by the way, Michael Fassbender, great as David.
Yeah.
Now, you could have had a robot off between these two dudes
yeah.
who were both excellent at being robots.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Ian Holm is I usually do hate this kind of thing, but I thought... You know,
it was cool to see him.
I thought they did a good job with yeah. this. There was parts, particularly towards the end, where you're just seeing him on a screen, where I forgot, oh, that's not really even Ian Holm.
Yeah,
you know,
I do think something that the franchise moved away from is that synthetics are bad.
Right, right.
The first one is that way. Prometheus 1 is that way.
Right.
None of the other ones, even David 2.0 in the second movie
right.
is not. He's
right.
kind of the hero of Alien Covenant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
God, that movie sucks so bad.
It sucks so bad. And by the way, there's this counter insurrection on the internet of people who think Alien Romulus sucks and Alien Covenant is good, and those people deserve death.
Yeah, I don't want to hear from them.
They need to be face-huggered. it is something we moved away from. I think... Bringing Ian Holm back is back to that, like, you shouldn't trust these things.
Right.
They yeah. are part of the corporation.
Right.
But at the same time, again, you got this badass dude who's like, fuck it, we're just getting out of here.
Right, right.
Count our losses. Let's go.
He's so good at being, like, the bumbling, malfunctioning droid.
Both.
And then being the sort of in-between where he still hasn't, like, you know, been taken over by the company mandate. But is suddenly better together now, and then he has to go full heel. And all three of those, he plays differently. That whoever that kid is, he's very
really good.
Again, hot take. I didn't watch a lot of movies last year. Joseph and I have had this conversation. Ian likes to remind us. That's probably my favorite acting performance of last year.
I could get on board with
it. I don't think anyone did what he did to the level with which right. he did it. Like, it just, he's so good at it.
And so much of it's in his body, too.
Yeah.
When he turns heel, his body
oh,
is
he, like,
immediately
stands straighter.
More
yeah.
intimidating.
Okay, the reason I wanted to talk about this movie.
Okay.
We talked about this being a love letter to all aliens.
Right.
And the one thing that really sold me the moment was, in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was an Alien arcade game. And at one point, aliens are just storming, and they're all over the ceiling, and you're just like, ah!
100%.
And they fucking do it in this movie. And it is so cool.
Yeah.
It is the coolest thing.
I 100% thought of that same thing, because they used to have that in the University Mall yeah. arcade, and I'd go play on
that. That is a buried time. Memory, but
yes.
100% that's what that
yes.
is.
Yeah. When you have Xenomorphs just like floating through space, and she's just, it's the Sigourney Weaver like
yeah.
lone survivor
yeah.
moment. It is so good. It is so good. And this movie's made for cheap, but it looks phenomenal.
It looks so good.
I mean,
man.
It's the best looking alien movie.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, yeah. and I mean, maybe this is like tactful use of your resources, but like the low lighting and colored lighting is used so
mm-hmm.
fucking effectively
right,
all
yes.
the time. Just like these shadows cast all over the place, and like the red and the yellows, it just fucking kicks ass. It looks so good.
Another scene that I thought looked so great was when the ship is going into the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like metal
oh, yeah,
going
yeah,
into
yeah.
a belt sander.
Yeah.
It was like, I literally thought, I've never seen that in a movie. That's a cool scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very cool.
I have, you know, certain scenes that I never need to see in a movie again, you know, walking away from an explosion of unfazed by it, shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I never needed to see another time where you're in the middle of a tense moment, then suddenly everything goes quiet and one person goes, run. But when they did it in this, I was like, yeah, I love that. They need to run. It's time to run.
I love that he like does the head turn and looks like right before. Like it is the most cliche version. Right. Of it. God, it worked.
Right. He milks it hard.
Yeah. This movie's just great. It's a really, really great time. And I recently listened to our Prey episode and really talked about how I think Prey is a really good Predator movie. I would want to watch a million of those. This is better than that.
Yes.
Yeah. But on top of that, I also just want to watch random broke-ass people in space. Don't make it interconnected bullshit. Just have them come across a xenomorph or an egg or a facehugger and just make them fucking figure it out for 90 minutes. That shit is entertaining every single time.
Because also in this one, they came up with different solutions than other people had came up with. The cryo on the tail of the facehugger.
Yeah.
The turning off the gravity to avoid the acid blood. Those are clever new things.
Well, and to that point, one thing I really liked in Covenant, I think Alien Covenant is probably the grossest alien movie.
Right.
It really pushes the body horror.
Right.
And one of them is like, David hasn't perfected the xenomorph yet, and so it's a back hugger. It explodes, you know, out his spinal cord or whatever. And like, yeah, okay, well, you're trying to do it newer different ways. What I liked is this was like, no, we're going back to fucking chest, you know, chest explosions.
Right.
But we're going to present it like she does the X-ray thing. Like, to me, that was a really cool way of doing the classic thing, but also presenting it in a new way instead of doing a new thing.
Right.
Again, this is the Top Gun Maverick of alien movies. Right. And that is 100%. I'm the market for that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, what I like about that particular scene is, you know, they're like, you know, we've done chest bursters before. How do we make this, like, same experience more interesting, more engaging? And the answer is, like, fly the ship back into the other ship and just, like, throw everybody. And that's, like, super, you know, I think there's, I know if I was a writer, my instinct in an alien movie was everybody gets killed by aliens. And I like that from that scene, it's a consequence of the whole chest burster scene. But a lot of people just get, like, super fucked up just by, like, getting thrown around in the ship. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's, like, happenstance nonsense stuff happening.
Well, because, I mean, that is the thing. These movies are really, there's three deadly things going on at one time. There's the xenomorphs, there's whether or not the synthetics are on your side, and there's just space. Being in fucking space.
100%.
Yeah. And this one definitely played on, okay, let's make all three of those things terrifying.
Totally agree.
And it works. What do we think of the xenomorph engineer at the end?
Well, you know, I thought that it was a better version of the xenomorph human hybrid than Alien 4.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was a case of Chekhov's pregnancy. As soon as you heard that girl was pregnant, it's like, okay, that baby's going to be an alien.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was, because they do it in Prometheus, right? She has the squid baby thing turns into it. This is better than that.
Yeah, this is better than that.
It's a practical effect. It creeped me out.
It was creepy looking as hell.
Everything about it was absurd.
Yeah. I definitely didn't find it as scary as, say, a xenomorph, but I was creeped out, grossed out more by
it. The nursing his mother to death. Whoa, that was horrible.
No, didn't like that.
Upsetting is the right word. Yeah. I want to watch this movie again. It is better than Transformers. It is well worth it.
I mean, my third reason I knew this was a good movie is because when we decided we were going to do this, like, I'm going to start watching it again. So I'm halfway through it now.
Yeah. I watched it again this morning, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Also, the first time I had watched it, I was really drunk, so I needed a refresher.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it. I would watch it. I want to do Alien as a trilogy going forward. I'm going to watch Alien, Alien Romulus, and Aliens, and that's just be the end of it.
I think that's the correct trilogy, honestly.
Yeah. And I'm like you. I don't hate Prometheus like everyone else does. Prometheus is its own thing entirely.
Yeah. I think if you go back and...
Again, a stat cast, man.
Change a little bit of the dialogue so they had crashed on the same planet as the original Aliens, and change a little of the CGI so she poops out a xenomorph. I think people would like Like,
Definitely. That's a movie that has the reverse of what I was talking about. Like, in this one, we have people who are assholes because, like, when the shit hits the fan, they're, like, all for themselves.
Right.
That's a movie where everyone's just an idiot because they're an idiot. Right. And that's what's frustrating.
Yeah. I just will never understand the mindset of making the engineer in the first movie more complicated.
Right. Right.
Like, why Prometheus should be that ship
right.
that the Nostromo comes across or whatever, and that engineer, but make that engineer the fucking bad guy.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Don't make the Xenomorph or Xenomorph hybrid, like, that guy just murdered all those people.
Right.
And somehow he got fucked up a little bit and he crash lands on that planet. And then Sigourney Weaver finds him 50 years later.
100% is what it should have been. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's all you cared about was you're like, we're going to find out about the big fucking elephant dude in the chair.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then it was like, well, that's Jesus Christ.
Because, I mean, also going back to my getting it done in two, that was really the only thing that you had left that is like, oh, I want to know about the space jockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and where they kind of fucked that up, you know, I think that was one of the things that made people less interested in this.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say.
I don't either. This movie is better than Transformers. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, I mean, look. You know, I know I'm not a big horror movie person, mm-hmm. but I like, even though it like is unpleasant for me to watch a horror movie sometimes because mm-hmm. I'm a coward on and right. my deepest heart, right. like I like it when it's done well, and like I found this super, I found it engaging enough to watch a second time.
Right.
So like, even if you don't like horror movies, I recommend giving this one a shot.
I think we've said this probably every time we've done like either a good horror film or
yeah.
when we do Halloween Horror for Cowards or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that when. When done right, horror is the best genre.
Right.
Like, when you do a horror movie well, this is what makes Jordan Peele, like, why people love him so much, is that when you really nail it, it transcends, like,
yeah.
what other movies are able
right.
to achieve.
I think horror more than any other genre, like, reaches you at, like, a
yes.
primal level,
right.
you know?
But so many times it's done bad.
No, so many times. Because, I mean, it's the cheapest, easiest
yes.
one to make.
Sometimes it sticks with you in the wrong way.
That's also true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's it for
yes.
Alien Romulus.
It sucks we're probably not going to get another one.
It does suck. But
we're getting Aliens Earth.
Alien Earth, yeah.
That's
and
true.
I'm pretty excited about that. I love Noah Hawley. And also, to part of my earlier point, of all the Alien 3s, my favorite one was the TV show. So maybe TV will be good for... I mean, I'm sorry, Terminator, but you know mm-hmm. what I mean. Maybe TV will be good for Aliens, so...
I'm excited to have another director that I'm like, what's he going to do next?
Yeah, Noah right. Hawley is...
not fucking Noah Hawley, the
Fetty Wap. It's, I mean, he's basically just done this, where he takes old horror series and makes kind of the best version
but
of
like,
it.
But, like, fucking crushes it.
Yeah, yeah. I would also like to see him continue to do that.
Yeah.
Who else does that people love a lot, but I don't know. He made Invisible Man and the Wolf Man movie.
Yeah. Can't think of his name.
Yeah,
but I know
can't either. I think Fetty Wap is better.
So yeah, I think that's it for Alien Romulus.
Mm-hmm.
What have we been watching the last bit, guys?
I don't remember everything I watched.
That's fine.
I did watch The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Have you watched it since we
talked? I need to watch it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah.
This is... if anything we've said on this podcast a million times, we've said this: Guy Ritchie makes one movie and I will show up every fucking
right.
time.
And it's crazy because he occasionally makes another movie and it sucks.
Yeah.
He doesn't make the one movie you're good at making.
Yeah. This movie is like the true story origin of James Bond, which is that Ian Fleming was a like the number two intelligence guy in the UK during World War II. And they hired this guy, broke him out of prison. He was like a retired major or a major. And we're like, listen, you're fucking nuts. We need you to go blow up this Nazi base in Africa, but you can't tell anybody. It's unofficial, unsanctioned.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. It's like the first covert ops group. And then he gets to hire whomever he wants. And he does it. He successfully steals the boat that is responsible for arming Nazi U-boats. And Ian Fleming, of course, was inspired by this guy who created the character of James Bond. That's where it comes from. But it is very much just a Guy Ritchie British people being cool movie, except it just happens to be set in World War II. And that is a combo of words that I am very excited about. Yeah. Henry Cavill is a blast. Alan Ritchson plays a Swedish guy who's obsessed with killing people, Nazis with a bow and arrow and a knife. Fucking here for it.
Awesome.
Also, God, I don't know how many steroids that guy's on, but you got to be jacked to make Henry Cavill
look small.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get Henry Cavill's only like 6'1", but God, that dude is gigantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's super fun in this. It's kind of hammy, but it is that guy's shtick in a new, different time period. And it's a blast. I would watch 90 of these.
I really think you should make one of these every 2 years. Yeah. I would go see it.
Yeah, it's super duper fun. I also watched, I'll cover a little bit of anime. I watched Dragon Ball Daima, which is the last Dragon Ball that Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, he made before he died. Listen, I think a lot of Dragon Ball is bad. I like Dragon Ball. I like Dragon Ball Z, but I grew up with those things. GT, I have a soft spot for because also it came out when I was a teenager, and I recognize the problems that people have with it. It's also bad. Super is dog
shit. 100% worse.
So much worse. I don't care what anybody says. Daima might be the best of the three post-Dragon Ball Z shows.
Yeah.
It's definitely like an alternate timeline in that like you can pick whatever one you want to watch. You finish Dragon Ball Z, which nobody's watching Dragon Ball Z nowadays, but you could finish Dragon Ball Z and you could pick, do which one of these would I want? And I'd probably say you should pick Daima. I think it is the best of the three in trying to do what all three are trying to do, which is like, oh, we wanted the intensity of Dragon Ball Z, but we want the kind of kid heartfelt magic of Dragon Ball. And I think Daima does it the best. It's pretty good. It's not great. It's not the best anime you're ever going to watch, but of the Dragon Ball related things, I think it's worth your time. And Guide is, you know, the guy who created it's the last thing he did. So
I think it's supposed to be kind of also like a refresh of like, you know, I don't really like Akira Toriyama. I don't think really like the direction that everything else is going, even though he made a lot of Super. So he's like, let me just go back. We'll go back to the little chibi art. Everybody's going to be just a little dude who's fun to animate, and we're just going to have a good time with it.
Yeah, I think the chibi art was an interesting choice. But it looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, it worked out really, really well.
I think it's more fun to animate, is what I understand. But and to your point, you're talking about nobody watches Dragon Ball Z anymore. But I was just thinking to myself, because I always think, same thing. Like, you know, I grew up with it. I watched it when I was the right age, and it was the only thing that was an option. And so when I tell people that, I'm like, I'm sure you could cut out some parts. But then I think about the arcs of Dragon Ball Z, and I'm sure, like, the episodes in them probably could have stuff cut out, but like all the arcs kind of hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Garlic Jr. is the only arc that doesn't hit, and you don't need to watch.
It's not even there for very long. It's
no, like, they cut it out. It's gone.
I didn't know that.
In Dragon Ball Z Kai, it's gone completely. It's not even in there.
Even the fucking filler, even the fucking Otherworldly tournament, it's fucking awesome.
Dude, the Otherworld tournament kicks.
Yeah.
Also out of in Dragon Ball Z Kai, it's not in there. And my boy PyCon is just erased.
That's a fucking disservice.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z better than Transformers. Yeah. That's worth your time. That Cell Saga hits. Majin Buu, I don't think is as good.
I mean, I agree. Look, we're getting deep in the weeds for her. But, like, that's my thing. I think like, the very last part of the Majin Buu arc is the only part I wouldn't recommend. Because even you got to get through, I like all of the...
Oh, Majin Vegeta is awesome.
Majin Vegeta is great. I like all of Babidi's little fucking Deborah. Henchmen. Yeah, I love those motherfuckers. Yeah.
Well, you have to be really in deep for those things to like Daima, because 100% that's what it's about, is Babidi and Deborah, and where did Majin Buu come from? And
yeah, all right, fine. Yeah. Sounds fun.
But it actually works.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway. That's it.
You know, that reminds me, while we were on our extended break, the part that I was most surprised we didn't reunite for an episode for our was when there was a goddamn Lord of the Rings anime.
I still haven't seen it. It's on Max now.
I was thinking, like, really, these guys love their kids that much?
It looks like fucking terrible.
I was like, I'm just surprised I'm not being made to watch this.
It's over 2 hours too.
I don't like this.
Seems like a mistake.
So a couple quality of life updates first. I just ordered my first wildly expensive third-party Transformer.
Cool. Right.
I don't have him yet. He's still on his way from China. But I just felt like the world should know that I'm that kind of person.
Love it.
Second one.
Are you going to have to pay tariff on it?
I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll be finding out in 2 or 3 weeks. Next thing, something I never thought I would get to say again, much less on the podcast. There's a fucking new soap opera on television. Is it good? No. It's terrible. But I'm watching it because I want to encourage the behavior.
So it's a brand new soap opera.
It's a brand new soap opera. It's called Behind the Gates.
It's the black soap opera.
Yeah, it's focusing on black families. Yeah, which they've tried before in the past. There was Generations, and it lasted a few years. But I, from what I've seen, it's doing pretty well. It's like the number 2 out of 5 soap operas, so...
I mean, I was about to say, what's the fucking show? That's what Power? Said. That was all like a network. That seems like the same fucking thing. It all seems like a
not all black people look the same. Jesse.
it just seems like a soap opera at night,
right?
So on to
actual thoughts about actual shows. You know, last week I talked a little about having watched the first episode of Landman. I've finished it now. Or I guess last week. I don't know how long has it been.
It's been a month. I don't know.
And I kind of did that show a disservice. Like, I kind of just lumped it in with Yellowstone, and I like Yellowstone, but Yellowstone is just fun trash. This is a genuinely good show.
So I wanted to ask you about that, because if you didn't bring it up, I was actually going to ask you about comparing Yellowstone and Landman based on the amount of clips that get fed to me anyway. How much of the fact that you think that Landman is a more quality show than Yellowstone is just because Billy Bob is fucking super fun?
Oh, I mean, I would say 60%. Yeah. But I will say the premise of this is better, because I kind of thought the premise of this was like, this was the guy who on an old episode of Dallas would do a JR's dirty work for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a better description of this is Michael Clayton meets Friday Night Lights.
That's a fun combo you got there.
And when I say Friday Night Lights, I want to be specific. The show.
The show, yeah.
The show. Because Michael Clayton, in that this guy is just a fixer. He thinks he could be more, but unlike Michael Clayton, he's not really reaching for it. He, like, bet on himself a while back and failed miserably. So he's just happy to still be in the game. And the Friday Night Lights part is just that it's kind of has that same sort of romantic slash disdain for rural Texas. But yeah, it's just a real good show. But as we said earlier, Billy Bob's just so good in it. He just chews up scenery. If you're going in to see John Hamm, I'll go ahead and warn you. I bet that guy got his part in the show done in 2 days.
Fair enough.
All of his scenes are either talking on a phone in a car or talking on a phone, walking to an airplane, and then he has like 2 real scenes with Billy Bob. Sort of the same with what's her nuts? Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. But the season ends with you feel like Demi Moore is going to be a bigger part of the next season.
Gotcha.
Also, there's a surprise former A-lister who shows up in the last episode. The biggest complaint that people are making about this is this propaganda for oil. And I can sort of see that, but it's like saying that Breaking Bad is propaganda for meth. It's only propaganda if you believe the protagonists of these shows are good guys, which I don't. And it kind of goes out of its way to make the point that because a lot of what he's doing is dealing with drug dealers that are working in the same area.
Yeah.
And it goes out of its way to make the point, hey, we're basically doing the same thing. We're selling a product that the world is hooked on, and it's high risk, high reward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, better than Transformers. Watch this show.
So I texted you about this.
Right.
Because I'm against these shows on principle, because I don't like the mythos that Taylor Sheridan is selling to the wrong people.
Right.
But this is going to piss you off, because I've watched so many clips of both the fucking Yellowstone and Landman at this point. I'm going to make broad scale assessments based on probably 30 minutes total of collective screen time. I feel like the characters of these shows can be broken up into 4 quadrants. And you can tell me if I'm right here.
I'm already going to go ahead and agree with you, but go ahead.
So there's men,
right? Right.
And the men are men.
Right.
And the men's main qualities for being men are scowling and being right. And so the men who are not men are cowards. Mm. Those are the only two types of men. And then on the women's side, there are women who are damaged or jaded enough that they are almost men, but more volatile.
Again, I think you're lying about how much you watch this, because you've got this shit nailed.
And finally, the rest of women, which are just creatures put on Earth to vex men from doing stuff that they want to do.
Mm. Yeah, you've pretty much got it. That's correct. I was even going to try to say that there's villains, but still, the villains are in those two categories of men.
Right.
So, yeah, you got that nailed. That's pretty great. I can't believe that I'm going to be the guy that talks about the Super Bowl.
Ooh. Sure.
I think people love a decisive victory. You know, particularly when they aren't really with either team. They don't really know the players very well. And I think pretty much everybody on Earth enjoyed the Super Bowl except for fucking Drake.
Yep.
Yeah.
God, did I love that. God, was it so fucking hateful.
It is just, I don't even know, like a mind-numbing level of pettiness, you know?
I want to make something, because I don't know, Hurt, how familiar you are with the Super Bowl halftime show, because I know you're not a big football guy.
Right.
You have to pay money to do it.
Right, right.
It costs you, the performer, to do it. So Kendrick paid $2 to $5 million for 15 minutes of international airtime to play two songs from a diss track that 90% of the world had never heard, just so he could call Drake a pedophile on live TV. We've never seen anything like it.
I love the first time they play just like a second of the Not Like Us riff where it's like, oh shit, here it comes.
You really about to do it?
And I really think at that point Drake was like, okay, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then he did it. Do you guys follow a comic named Josh Johnson?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah.
Josh Johnson is great. You know how stand-up comics say that a special is a year of their life.
Mm-hmm.
They go out on tour, they refine it,
yeah.
They tape an hour worth of stuff, and then that hour material is dead. Josh Johnson drops a special like every 2 weeks. And they're usually like, they're not full hours, they're usually like 20 to 30 minutes. But he's done four on the Drake-Kendrick rivalry. And the first one's the best. Explaining... But there's also one Drake is suing everyone on Earth but Kendrick that's pretty great. I don't really include the third part, the pre-Super Bowl, but the post-Super Bowl is the wrap-up of the trilogy. And I highly recommend anyone who hasn't checked that out, check it out.
I don't know how that guy's not on Saturday Night Live yet.
Because he's on The Daily Show.
Yeah, he seems bred for it.
I mean, he just seems like a fountain of material.
Yeah, he can come up with shit fast. I loved the halftime show.
And just one more thing. I think it's part of the duty of the podcast. There's certain movies that anytime we watch them, we have to mention it. I watched 310 the Yuma the other day.
Of course.
That's a great movie.
It is the best movie.
I watched it in Appaloosa as a double feature of Audie's Westerns, and it was a fucking delight.
I think, is that it? Are those the only two?
Those might be the only two Audie's Westerns.
True Grit was like 2010.
Right, yeah.
And when's the last time anyone watched True Grit again?
I watch it all the time, but you know, I'm a Coen Brothers mark.
And as I do, I watch clips of it on YouTube.
I want to know what your YouTube algorithm is, because the only thing YouTube Shorts feeds me is Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
And I don't watch them. I don't like that show. But God, YouTube thinks I do.
My YouTube, since I did the rewatch of Game of Thrones, thinks I'm only interested in short videos about the differences between the book and the show. And it's right. I watch that shit all day.
Is that it for you, Hearn?
That's it. Yeah.
All right. The first thing on my docket is really old, even older. I should have brought it up the last time we did an episode. But I think it's well stated on this podcast that like Craig Ferguson's my guy as far as like late night forever.
Well, I get a lot of shorts of Craig Ferguson being horny with female guests.
For sure.
I get that too, and I blame you for it.
I take that. I'm fine with that. I have mixed. I don't know. I don't have a lot of feelings really about like the Jay Leno, the David Letterman. It was kind of before my era. Conan O'Brien was one that was always kind of like in the middle. That's always kind of his deal. And he's always, to me, has always seemed like a person that is not funny, but is friends with a lot of funny people. Like, I like his guests. I think some of the guests that he has on are the best on his show.
Right.
But I don't generally think that, like, Conan O'Brien himself is funny.
This is such a wild take
to me. Yeah, I can't go with the other. Because what you're describing to me right now is Joe Rogan.
Can I fucking finish my...
Yeah.
And then Conan O'Brien went on Hot Ones.
Yes, of course. I did know where this was going. It is the best Hot Ones episode.
It's possibly the best Hot Ones episode. Have you seen it, Hurt?
Oh, God, have I? I've watched it numerous times.
The amount that he just, like, digs in, doubles down, like, seven times, eight times in the episode to the most ridiculous possible overreaction. I fucking loved it.
Bringing his own fake doctor. I mean, everything.
So funny. And it was extra funny because I watched it with my wife and she hated it and thought it was super disgusting, which made me laugh even harder.
Yeah.
So I want to take a 180 turn on Conan O'Brien. I just don't think I gave him enough airtime. You know what, Conan? You're pretty fucking good. I'm sorry for all the shit I've at least thought about you in my mind over the years.
The way he took down the bomb makes him like an honorary member of Jackass.
Yeah.
Like, it was that much committing to harming yourself to get a laugh.
Yeah.
It was outstanding stuff. As far as anime stuff, a couple of good things are back. Apothecary Diaries is back. Great show. I talked about it last year. 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Like You is back. And I don't give a shit what people say. It's not trash. It's a good show. Good quality shit.
I remember you talking about it.
It's fucking... Mm-hmm. It's
I watched Kaiju Number 8 recently.
I peek on your profile. Oh, that's the image you're watching. Yeah.
That shit kicks.
That's a good show. Yeah. The only thing I want to mention is... So, like, there is a huge market in all of anime for... just like male wish fulfillment fantasy bullshit.
Right.
A huge market.
It's like 75% of the shows.
Right.
And I think that it can all... I don't think this didn't exist, but I think it can at its root be traced back to Sword Art Online.
No. It's guilty, for sure.
Which is a show that I genuinely believe has like an interesting premise and like 12 pretty good episodes and then fucking sucks dick and is responsible for one of the worst trends in anime or just media also that for like years to come.
Right.
But it's not, it's crazy to me how popular it is because it's not a good show. You know what I mean?
Have you heard my theory on Sword Art Online?
Go ahead.
This episode's not gone on long enough. It's The Bachelor. It is one guy being surrounded by a bunch of women who are in love with him, even though they share nothing in common, as they go on adventures to find out which one is actually his soulmate. That is what that show is. To the point you made of it being just every guy's wish fulfillment, it is absolutely that. Mm. The Bachelor at its core was a man being surrounded by 30 beautiful women and letting them fight over me and pawn over me. And Sword Art Online is just that plus swords.
Yeah. So I want to mention a show that came out, I think, during our break. And the second season, or I don't know if it's second season or second part of the first season, came out just in January, which is called Solo Leveling, which is the same idea. It is absolutely just, it's a guy who is a normal guy who kind of sucked. And then he dies and gets reincarnated or rebirthed with new powers. And suddenly he's handsomer. He's the strongest person by a long shot, to the point where there is absolutely no drama in any conflict that he gets in, and every girl wants to fuck him.
Then the second season just came out recently.
Still airing.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, it's the same wish fulfillment shit that, I mean, it's the same thing that's Sword Art Online. It's the same thing that every other fucking fantasy bullshit thing that's come out since then is. They're all like the exact same thing, but this one is just done so fucking good. It looks so pretty. The fights are so cool. This is what Sword Art Online should have been. I want to like make a motion. Like, I don't think we can get rid of this trope and this obsession and fascination with this wish fulfillment thing. I don't think we can do that as a culture, as a world, whatever. Fine. Let's just get rid of Sword Art Online. Let's pretend that doesn't exist. Let's pretend it was always solo leveling. Because, like, I can get on board with it.
Do you think that whatever the motivation is behind telling those stories, is it not similar as to why people like Andrew Tate are...
Oh, no, absolutely.
super famous.
It's a circle of Venn diagram. Yeah. At least close to it, anyway.
I just find myself on one side of it. And I not that I want those things, but I do kind of enjoy those shows. Not Andrew Tate, but the, you know, loner guy ends up in fantasy world and... with a sword and girls with big boobs. Yep. And that's, you know, 90% of anime nowadays.
It is. So anyway, Solo Leveling, I it's not good in the sense that, like, it's not good storytelling. It's not, like, interesting. There's not, like, drama. There's never drama, you know?
Right.
He gets into a fight with somebody bigger and stronger than the last guy, and he creams him every fucking time. and it's not played for a joke. In fact, one of my biggest complaints with this show is the protagonist is an idiot. And I wish the story would acknowledge it. Mm. Because I think it would be more interesting if, like, he does all these things that are dumb, but it doesn't matter because he's so fucking strong that he just, like, wins anyway. But I wish the story knew that he was an idiot, when I think that it doesn't know that.
It seems like it needs a secondary character that's incredulous to that.
Correct, yeah, 100%. Mm. Anyway, Solo Leveling, better than Transformers. Highly recommend.
But cool. We talked a lot.
Yeah, you know, that's what we
do. Sometimes we don't do it very regularly.
That is what happens. So we do have some things on the docket for next time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to do Kraven. I have both been so excited for Kraven and also just, like, deeply at my core against spending a single fucking cent on Kraven.
Right. Yeah.
And so as soon as it comes on Netflix, I am watching the shit out of it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I watched Venom.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
You didn't hate it? Look,
I mean, isn't that how we've been on every Venom movie? We acknowledge they're awful, and we also like them.
I don't want to litigate it now, but 100% it is like every other one where you're like, this is terrible, but for some reason I'm having a lot of fun with it right now.
Maybe we'll do Venom next time.
I would like to do Venom. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
Let's do it. But thank you, everybody, for listening. If you like the show, please rate, subscribe, tell your friends about the podcast. Tell them that we're going to be back more regularly, we promise. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us at realphonies@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at realphonies, on Instagram at real_phonies. Thanks to Zach Evans for art and Brian Velasquez for our theme. We'll see you guys later.
Later.